Snap to Cooper, looking down the field. He's got a man, caught it. He's free, Phil Y'all Johnson at the 10, at the 5. Touchdown! There are no flags. Touchdown pass on the final snap of the game. Jacksonville State has won it. Snap to Cooper.
And that was audio of the Florida State Seminoles being some of the most gracious hosts you would ever want to see. Not only did they pay the Jacksonville State Gamecocks $400,000 to come down and play the game, but they figured they would use some of the worst coverages in the secondary on the last second play of the game that you ever want to see. Jacksonville State Gamecocks win that game on that last second play of the game, 17-14, in a huge upset over the Florida State Seminoles. And now, without further ado, Ball About the South, a new episode begins. What's good? It's Kerry Wood at C Wood on Sports on Twitter and IG. That's where you can find me. And this is Ball About the South. It's the podcast that talks sports with Southern flavor. And we're back with another episode. It's the third episode, and we got a lot to talk about in this one. A lot of football going on. Of course, the first weekend of the NFL was just last weekend. And then, of course, week two of the college football season. To say the least, we got a lot going on, a lot to talk about. And I kind of wanted to kind of condense the show down a little bit. The last one to me was a little bit too long, an hour and 25 minutes or something like that. So I've got to get it a little bit shorter than that. And I don't know how I'm going to do it, but we're going to take a good shot at it. If we talk some sports here, talk some football. And I'm just glad to have you back with me again. Please follow me on Twitter and IG at C Wood on Sports. I now have a Twitter account for the show, and it's at Ball South Pod. That's Ball South Pod. Pretty easy to say. Of course, if you pull up my Twitter account at C Wood on Sports, you'll see a link to it there in my profile anyway. So, it'd be easy to find. But yeah, follow me on either one of those, and we're going to kind of crank some things up, man. We've got the show going on. We'll at least be coming to you with this podcast at least once a week, but we'll do some things on social media, looking at maybe doing some things on YouTube here in the near future. So be on the lookout for all of that. Ball About the South. We're gonna try to move this thing forward and grow into something pretty big here in the near future. Let's get started, though, man. I've kind of got five things that I'm going to start out each podcast, each episode, kind of top five or whatever, five things I've been looking at. Number one on my top five list today, the Arkansas Razorbacks and the Kentucky Wildcats coming away with huge wins over the weekend in the SEC. Arkansas playing what will be an SEC conference game in the future, but the other night it was obviously a non-conference game against the Texas Longhorns, and they put it to the horns. They welcomed Texas to the SEC with a 40-21 beatdown there in Fayetteville. They just, man, look, Arkansas basically just whooped them in the trenches. That's what it came down to. Arkansas, when you sit there and look at that football team, they have some talent. We can't say they don't have talent. KJ Jefferson is starting to look pretty good as a dual threat guy at the quarterback position, more of a running, quarterback though. His passing is, their passing game leaves a lot to be desired right now, but The run game has been pretty good. The defense has been really good, holding Texas to 21 points the other night. Sam Pittman is getting the most out of that football team, and they are now ranked number 20 in the country. Just really good stuff from the Razorbacks, man. And you got to give them their props. And they have come a long way in a short time, just these last couple years since Chad Morris left Fayetteville. And Sam Pittman is showing he is a really good football coach. That was a huge win. They trolled Texas on Twitter saying, "Welcome to the league," after the beatdown. I thought that was hilarious. Texas, y'all, sure y'all want to get into the SEC. I mean, this isn't even Alabama. This isn't Georgia. This isn't even LSU right now, who's not playing well at all. This is Arkansas. Arkansas didn't win a conference game just two seasons ago. I mean, they're ranked number 20 in the country right now. But, man, that's not a good look, Texas. What's up? Yeah, at any rate, huge win for the Razorbacks. Another team, the Kentucky Wildcats, was a huge win. They were the only ones to play a conference game. They have been so far been the only conference game played. Kentucky beat the Missouri Tigers 35-28 there in Lexington. Really good football game, man. We knew it would be. We talked about that game a lot in my last episode, and it lived up to the billing. We'll be giving out game balls. My first game ball, pretty simple. I'm going to give it to Chris Rodriguez, 207 yards. He is going to have my SEC game ball this week. I think it was an easy choice when you look at it. Definitely an easy choice. Chris Rodriguez just lighting up the Texas Longhorns with 207 yards. And, there were obviously some other really nice performances in the SEC. And, the other thing about it, with that being the only conference game, I think that took a little bit of precedent. And I'm going to name Chris Rodriguez I'm going to give him my SEC game ball this week. I'm going to give out his HBCU game ball and the NFL game ball as we go on in the show. But let's move it on. Yes, we'll talk. Those were huge wins, I think, for Arkansas getting back into the top 20. They're going to have to give up a little cash for the fans storming the field, $100,000 fine coming down from the SEC for that. But I think they'll figure it was worth it. Arkansas hates Texas, and I think it goes the other way around as well. Texas hates Arkansas. So, yeah, they'll pay that $100,000 fine for the chance to storm the field and beat the Longhorns. Kentucky, again, 35-28 victors over Missouri. Missouri, hung in there. They hung in, and if you're a Missouri fan, you should feel pretty good about your football team. You're 1-1 right now. Obviously you wanted to win that football game there in Lexington. You couldn't get it done, but you did some good things. You hung in there. So we'll see what happens going forward. Long season to go. If I'm a Missouri fan, I don't feel too bad about that loss. If you're a Kentucky fan, you feel damn good about your football team. I think Arkansas, obviously, you feel damn good about your football team. Another fan base that should feel good about their team, Mississippi State, getting a huge win over NC State at home. They stifled NC State big time. Mississippi State's defense looked a lot better. And they scored. They're pretty good offensively as well. Mississippi State looks, they've moved to 2-0. They had the crazy comeback win over Louisiana Tech in week one. And they backed that up with a very good win over NC State. I thought NC State would win that football game. I said that in my last episode. We talked about this game. I talked about NC State possibly with all of the problems with North Carolina that we've seen so far. And, You know, we saw Miami did not look good against Miami, and I couldn't identify another team that I really thought could give Clemson any problems in the ACC. That team I thought would probably be NC State. And I'm not saying that this loss says it wouldn't be NC State now, but you have to start thinking like, man, maybe NC State is not as good as I thought they were. So, at any rate, yeah, huge win for Mississippi State over the Wolfpack. You should feel really good about your football team as well. Let's move on to my number two of my top five, the Saints. The New Orleans Saints, just throttling. I mean, just putting it on the Green Bay Packers Sunday. 38-3, Jameis Winston, 5 touchdown passes. He only threw for 148 yards. How that's possible, I couldn't tell you. Just really, I mean, the Saints defense just was dominant over Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. The Saints really looked good playing that game away from New Orleans. All of the cleanup efforts, trying to get power restored there in New Orleans. The Saints forced to play their games away from home, so they're playing in Jacksonville. And, you know, what can I say? They got it done. I mean, under adverse situation, the Saints stood tall. And that is just a testament to Sean Payton. Sean Payton proving he is one of the best coaches, one of the best leaders in the NFL. I don't think there's any question about that. No one should question that, in my opinion. So the Saints get a huge win. You have to wonder what in the world is going on with Green Bay right now. You have to wonder about the state of that locker room. With all that went on with the Aaron Rodgers saga in the offseason, you just have to wonder if all of that's starting to catch up, man, and starting to cause some separation and cause some problems in that locker room. So we'll have to watch that as we go forward. Tampa Bay came away with a huge win right there at the buzzer, right there at the gun, 31-29 over the Cowboys. That was Thursday night, last Thursday night, and that was a really good football game. Dallas thought they may have had it 129-28, but of course they left a little bit too much time for Tom Brady to come down and win the game. Huge win for the Bucs, and they moved to 1-0. But I tell you what, if you're a Cowboys fan or old Mississippi State fan that likes to watch Dak Prescott, you had to like what you saw last Thursday night. Dak put it down, threw for over 400 yards. I thought he'd have a little bit of rust going on. He had no rust at all, throwing dimes all over Tampa Bay Stadium there. Really good football game from him. We'll see how things go with the Cowboys going forward. They've had a couple of injuries, and then Lyle Collins, their left tackle, is suspended for 5 games. We're going to have to see how that rolls. Cowboys could take steps backwards with that. After that great performance and coming up short, we'll see how they do going forward. But and nonetheless, really good win for Tampa Bay. On the flip side, obviously if you're a Tampa Bay fan, you feel good about your team. The Saints, you feel good about your team. Who dad is in the house? The Titans, you don't feel good about your football team at all. The Falcons, you don't feel good about your football team at all. I think Chandler Jones just got another sack on Ryan Tannehill. 5 sacks from Chandler Jones. And this is a guy coming back off an injury as well. Chandler Jones just absolutely murdered Taylor Lewan on Sunday afternoon. Taylor Lewan could not keep up with him. And he admitted such after the game. I mean, he did not make any bones about it. He owned up to it. Lewan is coming off of an injury of his own, and it showed. But he wasn't the only one that had problems on the Titans' offensive line on Sunday. It was a group effort, or should I say lack thereof. The defense for Arizona stymied them big time. They had penetration and pressure all day long. Derrick Henry could not get going at all. He had 9 yards rushing at the half. He ended up with like 57 yards, far below his average, of course. could never get going. He was stuffed twice there on the goal line during one series. So, you know, Titans have a lot to work on. Nothing really too much out of the passing game. You know, saw very little out of Julio Jones. Very little from A.J. Brown. Titans got a lot of work to do, man. We'll see. And then it doesn't get any easier. They're staring down, squarely staring down the barrel of being 0-2 with a trip coming up this weekend to Seattle, who beat the Colts pretty handily in Indianapolis. We'll talk about that game a little bit here a little bit later. The Falcons losing 32-6 to the Eagles. Not a good look at all for them. Jalen Hurts doing the thing. He and Devontae Smith hooking up early and on that touchdown pass, exact same spot, actually, where Devontae Smith caught that touchdown to win the national championship over Georgia in 2018. He caught his touchdown, his very first reception in the NFL, went for six, and was in the exact same spot where he caught that touchdown against Georgia. Just absolute crazy stuff when you sit there and think about it. Absolutely crazy. The Eagles looked the part. Jalen Hurts, game ball, absolutely. When you look at Jalen Hurts, he was absolutely magnificent on Sunday afternoon. He gets my game ball in the NFL, and I think it's well deserved. Again, there are some other guys that could probably stake claim to it, but Jalen Hurts leading his team to a blowout win in Atlanta, I don't see how I could make a better choice. Moving forward, you look at my fourth of my top five. You look at, again, you look at all the SEC hookups, quarterback, wide receiver hookups, Tua, finding Jalen Waddle in the end zone. That was the first touchdown by Miami and their win over Mac Jones and New England Patriots. They win that game 17-16. Unfortunately, Damian Harris, also of Alabama, looked like an A-Day game out there with all the Alabama players. Really just crazy, all the Alabama players playing in the NFL this past weekend. But Damian Harris putting the ball down on the turf there with New England right there in scoring range, right there in field goal range. I think around three and a half minutes to go in that game, New England could have taken the lead. Damian Harris fumbled the ball. Of course, Miami recovered and was able to run out the clock from there. So, yeah, but that was a huge hookup for that first score from Tua to Jalen Waddle. In the that Tennessee blowout, you had Arizona, the Cardinals, Kyler Murray hooking up with Christian Kirk. In the Cincinnati game, one of the two overtime games of the weekend, Joe Burrow back from his ACL injury, hooking up with fellow LSU Bayou Bengal Tiger Ja'Marr Chase on a long touchdown right there, and their 27-24 victory over Minnesota. And then, of course, we talked about Devontae Smith catching that huge touchdown pass from Jalen Hurts in that huge win over the Atlanta Falcons. So four hookups between four former SEC QBs. Kyler Murray, of course, was known more for his career at Oklahoma than he was at A&M, but hey, look here. I mean, he played at A&M. So, and of course, so did Christian Kirk. So A&M to A&M on that one. Yeah, two Alabama quarterbacks hooking up with two fellow Bama wide receivers. And of course, the LSU hookup there with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Man, you know, just totally crazy when you look at all of the Alabama football players, all of the SEC players in this league. It's total domination. And you see why the SEC wins so many championships. I mean, it was on display this past weekend in the NFL. It was just good to watch. I mean, if you're an SEC fan and you're a Bama fan like I am, I enjoyed it. A lot of people probably didn't, but I did. I can't deny. So yeah, good stuff right there. My last of the, you know, kind of my top five, some of the things that stuck out to me over the last week, over the last, you know, over the weekend, and here in the NFL, college football, we're going to the HBCUs. It was the performance of Shedeur Sanders. I call him QB Prime. He is the son of Coach Prime of Jackson State. Huge game for that brother, man. 30 or 40 throwing the football against Tennessee State. 362 yards, 3 TDs. Just, man, he really put it to him. And I've heard some things about Shedeur Sanders that I really kind of find hard to believe. There are a lot of people that were of the belief that this dude wasn't really that athletic, that he wasn't really good with his feet. He was not very elusive. I saw him be extremely elusive the other night because Tennessee State's their defensive front actually did get some pressure on him. But he was able to escape. He was able to extend plays. He was able to, you know, stay in the pocket there some as well and stand strong in there and fire the ball and get it where it needed to go. Shedeur Sanders looked the part the other night. I don't know where all these questions about his, you know, athletic ability, his speed, all that are coming from. I'm not really sure. He answered them the other night. And, yeah, he looked strong. Jackson State looked strong in a huge 38-17 win over Tennessee State. That was the Southern Heritage Classic there in Memphis. Jackson State, they're looking like they could be a player in the SWAC. I think I want to see a little bit more from this football team to be sure about that because we'll see how they, you know, fare against teams like Alabama A&M. But, yeah, right now, Jackson State really looked good. Tennessee State had their issues, obviously. Their passing game, you know, kind of leaves a little bit to be desired. They run a two-quarterback system right now, basically, or at least they did the other night. And running the football, you can tell that, you know, both of those guys know how to use their feet. They're really athletic and everything. But that front, that defensive front by Jackson State, they got too much penetration. They took away those, you know, the option game for those Tennessee State QBs. And once they kind of got to a point where they had to throw the football a little bit more, it was pretty much game over. So, really good performance from Jackson State. We'll see what we have going forward from the Tigers. I'm going to give out my HBCU game ball, and it's a pretty easy one in this one because this game was the only SWAC game going, okay? There were no other conference games. Basically, everyone else in the conference was playing, you know, kind of their money games and all of that. So I'm going to give it to Shedeur Sanders. I mean, I just told you his stats, 30 or 40, 362 yards, 3 touchdowns. I can't give it to anyone else but him. He was really the catalyst of that football team on Saturday night. Huge win in front of, I think, about 40,000 fans there in Memphis. Really good football game from what I could tell. I did not watch the entire game. I watched a good bit of it, though. And, yeah, he was very very entertaining. And I think Jackson State is working themselves to be a factor in the SWAC as we go forward. Okay, so I've given out my game balls, HBCU game ball to Shedeur Sanders of Jackson State. Chris Rodriguez gets my SEC game ball. And I'm going to give my NFL game ball out, and it's going to go to Jalen Hurts. I just think it's fitting. I think it's a pretty simple thing to do. Jalen Hurts really led the Eagles to a huge win, 32-6 over the Falcons. I thought the Eagles would win that football game, but I did not think they would win it by that large a margin. So Jalen Hurts just continues to prove people wrong. We'll see if it continues. I mean, I don't think the Eagles are going to be a playoff team. I still don't think that. But, hey, this dude has been doubted so many times. Who knows? And, of course, it doesn't hurt to be in what is probably still the worst division in the league. Okay, so we'll see what we have going forward from Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. Really exciting to see them get off to the 1-0 start. Not a good start for the Falcons. We'll talk a little bit more about the Falcons in their next game against Tampa Bay later in the show. But right now, we're going to take a break. And we'll be right back. We'll get into a little bit more of the SEC. We'll talk some Tennessee Vols. What happened to them against Pittsburgh. We'll talk A&M. And then after that, in that final segment, we'll get back into the NFL and, you know, talk some of the games coming up this weekend. We got some big ones in both the NFL and college. We got Bama, Florida to talk about. You know we got to get into that. And we'll do all of that after this. And Ball About the South continues. All right, you guys, we're back. Ball About the South, episode 3 continues. And let's get into a little bit more about the SEC. A few more of the teams over the weekend, some of their battles. Tennessee going down in defeat to Pittsburgh. That game ended up 41-34. Really good football game, but Tennessee just not quite enough there in the end. They had another kind of situation, kind of like New England had against Miami. They got down into the goal line area, had a chance to tie the football game up. They didn't fumble the ball, but they were stuffed. Had to give, could not get it on fourth down, fourth and less than a yard. And Pittsburgh's defense stood stout and did not let them get that yard. And they ended up finishing off that game, winning it 41-34. Tennessee got off to a pretty good start. Got up 10-0 in the first quarter, and everything looked pretty good. Then Joe Milton, their starting quarterback, got injured. Hendon Hooker had to come in for him. Hooker, you know, had some decent numbers and everything, 15 of 21, 188 yards passing. Had a couple of touchdowns, but and also, you know, did some things with his legs. Had 9 carries for 49 yards, but just not enough. Just not enough. Tennessee still struggling to throw the football as a whole anyway. You know, they've got to get that quarterback position settled. Joe Milton, obviously, Josh Heupel picked him. And, you know, again, he looked okay in their first game against Bowling Green. Looked okay early against Pittsburgh, but again, just not enough. And obviously, defensively, this is a team still in it's a work in progress as well on that side of the ball. If you're a Volunteer fan, this is going to take a minute for things to get turned around there. I know that's not what you want to hear, but that's just the bottom line. And you know, Pittsburgh's a pretty good football team. Let's give them credit as well. Their quarterback, Pickett, who's 23 years old, he's a senior. He could have gone into the NFL draft, actually. He decided to come back for his senior season. And he had a pretty good game against against Tennessee on Saturday. Pittsburgh out of the ACC, they go to 2-0. Tennessee goes to 1-1. We'll see what Tennessee does here in the future. Again, I just think it's going to be still a long season for the Volunteers. I think A lot of people, obviously volunteer fans, are anxious to get that thing rolling. It's going to take Josh Heupel a little bit of time. And I think we saw why that's going to be the case this past Saturday in that loss to Pittsburgh. Another game we need to look at really quick, Texas A&M. Again, another team that's having problems with their quarterbacks. Haynes King was the guy. He went down early in that game against Colorado. I kind of got into that game kind of late into the midway third quarter, and it was 7-3 Colorado. I thought I was looking at the game, maybe around the second quarter. I was like, okay, I know this game's supposed to kick off at 2:30. It's 4:30, something to 5 right now, and maybe that game kicked off later than I thought, because obviously 7-3, this game is just starting. Then I look up, it's the middle of the third quarter. And I'm like, what is going on with Texas A&M? Then I find out that Haynes King obviously is injured at the time. And they go to the bench. They bring off their backup quarterback, Calzada. Calzada is a guy that's from what I heard, the position for quarterback came down to really to the last couple of weeks, and Calzada got a lot of reps against Haynes King. Haynes King was a guy that Jimbo Fisher chose, but it's not like Calzada didn't have some he had a lot of reps there in fall camp. So you wonder what's going on with that, man. Texas A&M struggling big time against Colorado. Obviously, Colorado's a Pac-12 team. It was in Denver. And it was sort of a road game. It was a road game because it was not played on Colorado's campus, but it was played in the state of Colorado. So obviously they had the advantage with the home crowd and all of that. It's not a good performance from Texas A&M. You got to wonder about this football team going forward. They have got to get that quarterback position straight. There's just no two ways about that. And right now, it's just not a good look right now for A&M. They did not look good in their victory in week one. Haynes King threw 3 interceptions. That's kind of what I thought may have been going on, that he was ineffective, maybe he had thrown a couple picks, something like that, and Jimbo Fisher thought he'd go to his backup. Turns out that Haynes King is injured, and he's going to be out a while. He may be out past the Alabama game, which obviously that's not good news for A&M when Alabama comes to town in about a month. So, so A&M moves to 2-0. That's the good part about it. But they've got some things they need to work out. We'll see how they roll with it. Georgia, another team having a problem with their QBs. JT Daniels did not play in the game against UAB, but they didn't need him. 56-7 over UAB. I thought that game might be a little closer than that. I didn't had no question that Georgia would win the game, but man, UAB looked horrible. Let's talk about UAB. They're the local team here from Conference USA. They're about to go into that new stadium here in a couple of weeks. And this is a huge season for them. They looked at it as being a favorite to win Conference USA again. But right now, the Blazers got some issues. I understand it was Georgia. I understand you were playing between the hedges on the road. I get all of that. But at some point, UAB has got to get, we've got to be able to hang in with some of these good football teams from the SEC or other Power 5 conferences. That was a bad look by UAB the other day. So we'll see if they can get their things straightened out as they go forward this season. So, yeah, a lot of quarterback problems going in the SEC right now. Could that open the door for a team like Kentucky with Georgia having problems with QB? Even though, yes, again, they won that game going away. It did not matter that JT Daniels was not out there. It didn't matter. If they scored like the first 4 or 5 times they had the ball. They were throwing, 80-yard bombs like it was nothing against UAB. And, you know, it was just really impressive if you looked at it. Stetson Bennett, 5 touchdown passes, and I don't think he played in the second half. Stetson Bennett is the guy that JT Daniels beat out. Stetson Bennett, you know, you may remember, played quite a bit last season before JT Daniels got back from an injury. And he showed out. He took advantage of his opportunity. And I don't know, man. We'll see what happens going forward with that as well. Could be very interesting, to say the least. A couple other teams with victories in the SEC. South Carolina had a really nice win over East Carolina. Now, they did not play well. They got down 14-0 in that game. But, look, South Carolina, we know where they were last season. They were not very good. Obviously, they had the coaching change. Now Shane Beamer is in control of that program. I thought it was a good win. East Carolina, I can't say that they're a good football team or anything like that out of the AAC, but South Carolina going on the road, I thought it was pretty impressive the way they were able to come back and win that football game after a rough start. So South Carolina starts the season 2-0. And look here, the Vanderbilt Commodores, after getting blown out on their home field last week to FCS East Tennessee State, Vanderbilt off the mat, at least for right now. They go out to Colorado State, get a game-winning field goal. They beat Colorado State 24-21. Getting a road win. That's all right there. Really good stuff, the Colorado State Rams. Again, not a really good football team, but it doesn't matter. When you go out on the road, especially a team like Vandy, that's good stuff for you, for the Commodores. And we'll see how they do going forward. Probably not going to win too many more games, maybe a couple more here, some of their non-conference. We'll see if they maybe can win a conference game or two or whatever. More than likely not, though. We'll see how that rolls. Very interesting stuff going on with their former head coach, who's currently the head coach right now at Penn State, but could he be headed to USC? The USC Trojans firing Clay Helton. We'll talk about that just a quick minute. I don't want to get too deep into it, but we knew that was coming at some point. Clay Helton, how he's still the coach, how he, how he stayed so long, I don't think anyone actually really knows. But that news coming down the other day, and James Franklin, the former Vanderbilt head coach, that name has been coming up very prominently. And so we'll see how that rolls. Obviously, James Franklin trying to get his football team ready for the Auburn Tigers as Auburn visits Happy Valley this weekend. The whiteout, all of that's going to go on. It's going to be very interesting to see how that turns out. It's going to be very interesting to see how this USC coaching search turns out. I mean, could Urban Meyer or someone like that, could he leave the NFL and go back to college? What about a name like Bob Stoops? There were a lot of people mentioning Chris Peterson, who's not coaching right now, but the former Boise State coach. I think that would be a pretty good choice. So, who knows? Maybe Eric Bieniemy, Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator. I think that's an interesting name. Obviously, he needs to get a look. So, a lot going on with that one. USC. I don't think they're quite the program that they used to be. It's going to have to be a special guy that they're going to have to hire to bring that program back to where it was when Pete Carroll had it rolling there in the early 2000s. Well, we'll see how it goes. And I don't know. We'll see. James Franklin, I think, might be a good choice. I don't know if he would be that level of a coach. Urban Meyer, Yeah, obviously he's last two stops he's won three championships. So obviously that makes sense, but I think you have to wonder about his longevity. I mean, he doesn't stay at places very long. So I don't know. I'm not really sure how USC is going to handle that. James Franklin, again, that name has been thrown out there quite a lot, and we'll see how it rolls. We're going to get into that James Franklin game. Penn State hosting Auburn. We'll talk about that a little bit, but we're going to go to break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk a little NFL. The game's coming up this weekend, and after that, we will get into those two huge football games in the SEC: Bama at Florida in the Swamp, Auburn at Penn State. We'll get into both of those after we talk some NFL. We'll do that right after this. Let's get into this final segment. Let's talk some NFL. Some of the games coming up this weekend, those games in the AFC and NFC South, and then we'll finish this thing up with those two huge battles in the SEC. Talked about the Titans earlier in this podcast, early in this episode. The Titans going down hard to the Arizona Cardinals. What are they going to do about their O-line? Are they going to look a little bit better? They're going to have to look a lot better going to Seattle. Seattle came away with a huge win at Indianapolis, 28-16 over the weekend. I thought the Colts would win that game, and I was totally wrong. I thought it would be a really close game. Seattle just, man. And Carson Wentz had a really good game for Indianapolis. He came back strong. And Seattle still was able to win that game by double digits. So you have to wonder about the Titans. And we all know, we've heard it so many times over the years, you know, that stat saying, you know, teams going 0-2 usually don't make the playoffs. Now, obviously, there have been some teams, plenty of teams that have done it since then. I mean, you know, we used to hear that stat years ago, okay, but there have been several teams here lately that have gone 0-2. I think there have been a couple teams that have gone 0-4 and still made the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken. So going 0-2, I don't think will be, you know, the, you know, final nail in the coffin or anything like that for the Titans, but you gotta wonder, man. I mean, the way they got dominated up front. I don't know. I mean, this is a team I picked to go to the playoffs. I picked the Colts to actually to win this division, and that's kind of contingent on the health of Carson Wentz. So far, so good, at least from what I saw. Even though they lost the game, Carson Wentz was fine. So I'm just not sure, man. This is not a good spot for the Titans. It just isn't. But let's see, maybe, you know, hey, maybe they can gather themselves, you know, pull out one of those performances and get it done. I don't know. It's not a good look, but, you know, being 0-2 is not the end of the world like it used to be. I think if at least you go out there, you kind of establish some things up front. I think, you know, you can get Derrick Henry, find him some running room. You get Julio and AJ Brown into the offense. Even in a loss, I think if you can get those things done, I think, you know, hey, you know, you start feeling a little bit better about yourself. In the case of Indianapolis, they have the Rams coming to town. So they're not, I mean, they're not doing too much better. The Rams put it on the Chicago Bears in Sunday Night Football last weekend. I picked the Rams to win the NFC West, and every NFC West team won their games over this past weekend. So the Colts staring down an 0-2 gun as well. Right down the barrel of being 0-2, just like the Titans are, but they do get the Rams at home. So that is a little bit, that puts them in a little bit better position. So Carson Wentz again, can he continue to look good the way he did last Sunday, coming back off of that injury? We saw him moving with move around inside and outside of the pocket, showing some escapability and everything, throwing the football downfield. It just did not yield enough points to win that football game. So the Rams coming to town, that's going to be a tough care. It's going to be a tough game. Stafford, the new Rams quarterback. Yeah, and, you know, Stafford coming over from Detroit. I guess you kind of say basically on a trade for Jared Goff, who, of course, is now in Detroit with the Lions. Kind of crazy how that worked out. But, you know, Matthew Stafford, I've always been, you know, kind of big on him. And for me, he's the missing piece. I think he could be the missing piece for getting the Rams back to the top of the NFC West again, and possibly back to the Super Bowl. I just really believe that I have the Rams winning the NFC West. So that's going to be a tough game for the Colts on Sunday, even though that game will be at home. You know, I can see the Colts winning the game, but I'm going to go out on the limb. I say the Colts win it, but again, just like the Titans, they're staring down, you know, they're staring at being 0-2. And that would be crazy, the top two teams in this division being 0-2. Moving on in the AFC South really quick, the Jacksonville Jaguars host the Denver Broncos. The Broncos beating the Giants over last weekend. Broncos, I think, obviously have an advantage in this football game. Teddy Bridgewater, I thought, played well for the Broncos. He's one of those quarterbacks. He's not going to necessarily wow you with his stats and his, you know, big arm and all of that. But the dude just, you know, he wins football games. And, you know, Denver, the Broncos have some injury concerns at wide receiver and all of that. Jerry Jeudy was a guy that went on injured reserve, the former Alabama receiver. So, yeah, they've got some injuries, but I think Denver's going to be a little bit too much for Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence he did some good things in that loss to Houston, but he obviously made a lot of rookie mistakes. And it's just going to be a growth period for him right now. It's all about him getting better week to week, and we'll see how that rolls. I like the Denver Broncos to win that football game against Jacksonville. And then talking about those Houston Texans, they go to Cleveland. They get the win over Jacksonville. I thought Jacksonville might would upset them. I didn't know what the mindset would be for the Texans coming off of all the Deshaun Watson stuff going on. And at least for last week, they put it away. And Tyrod Taylor, I mean, I never doubt Tyrod Taylor. Okay, Tyrod Taylor is an ultimate professional in my opinion. And he did his thing. He absolutely did his thing on Sunday against the Jaguars. Would not be surprised if he has a really good game again against Cleveland. But the Browns, I think, are going to be too much. They're coming off of that really heartbreaking loss, in my opinion, to Kansas City over the weekend. Again, another big lead for the Browns at Arrowhead, and they let it get away. What else is new? Kansas, that's just what the Chiefs do. They let teams get up two or three touchdowns on them, and then they just walk them down. And that's exactly what happened Sunday. So, yeah, Cleveland, I think they'll be ready for this football game. I think they'll beat the Texans. So, yeah, let's move over to the NFC South really quick. Now, yeah, the Falcons at Tampa Bay. Obviously, Falcons coming off of that huge loss to the Eagles. I can't see things getting much better for them against the Buccaneers. That's going to be, I would be surprised if that game is close at all. But, you know, you never know. The Falcons played the Buccaneers pretty close last season in Tampa. So we'll see. New head coach Arthur Smith can rally the troops there and get a good performance out of them. We'll find out Sunday afternoon. Saints at the Panthers. That is, of course, kind of interdivision game. The Panthers, you know, winning that game against the Jets, not a lot offensively, but they were able to do enough to win the football game. Sam Darnold, we'll see how he does with his new weapons. Couple, you know, actually has one, Robbie Anderson. He threw a touchdown pass to. He's familiar with him from New York, but DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey, I think, are the two guys that are going to help him out. The Saints, obviously, coming off that huge win over the Green Bay. We'll see if there's any letdown with them. Jameis Winston had, didn't have to do a whole lot Sunday, so maybe that's something where actually some more of the game will be in his hands against the Panthers this Sunday. I'm gonna like the Saints to win that football game again. I think the Saints go 2-0. I really do. I think the Saints are gonna win double digit wins. I think they're gonna make the playoffs, and I'm all in on the Saints right now. And I think it should be a good game though. I really do. I think the Panthers will compete. I think that game will come down to the wire, but I like the Saints. Let's get into these huge contests in the SEC. Now, this is the first time that Alabama has visited the Swamp in 10 years. It's been 10 years since Alabama has played the Swamp. Now, they've played them a couple times in the SEC championship game. And they've played once in Tuscaloosa in that time period. This is the first time in 10 seasons that Alabama has been to the Swamp. That is crazy. So that means basically the better part of three recruiting classes never saw the Swamp, never went to Gainesville. So obviously this, you know, again, for obvious reasons, this is a huge game. Florida was able to hang in with the with Alabama in the SEC title game last year. Really made it a really good football game. I mean, send it to overtime, Alabama win that game 52-46. I'm not really sure it's going to turn out that way this time. I think, obviously, it can be a close game. Obviously, Alabama's, you know, looking at Bryce Young, his first start on the road. You don't know exactly what you're going to get out of that. You have to like the poise that you've seen in him so far. But, of course, again, you're talking about 80,000, 90,000 people staring in his face, screaming. Florida's defense, you know, they're going to try to break out all the stops to come out and put some pressure on him and all of that. Again, the line is about 14.5 right now is what I saw the last time. I think that's about right. I'm just kind of looking at this game. I'm thinking of a score somewhere around 34-20, 37-20, you know, somewhere in that range, maybe 40-24. I don't know. You know, this Florida team just, to me, doesn't quite have the juice offensively to hang with Alabama like they did last year. Kyle Trask is in the NFL right now. Kadarius Toney is in the NFL. Of course, Kyle Pitts is in the NFL with the Atlanta Falcons. Emory Jones, and he's their quarterback right now. They have kind of run a two-quarterback system. We'll see how Dan Mullen does with that on Saturday against Alabama. I just don't think they have the skill players. Alabama did not look great against Mercer the other day. They did not. They got off to a slow start. They had penalties. Nick Saban spoke about that all week. He talked about they did not practice well in the show. But I just think that is a good thing for Nick Saban. He going to a big game. He's always looking for any kind of edge, anything that he can coach and kind of go off about. And I think that is going to be maybe the perfect recipe for him. I think Alabama gets it done in the swamp. You know, again, not a blowout or anything like that. I think it's probably a close game, maybe into the fourth quarter. Then I think Alabama kind of finds a way to pull away and win that game by a couple scores. Let's talk about Auburn. Auburn, for the first time, going up to Penn State. That is going to be the primetime game. It's also the game day. That's where game day will be Saturday morning. It's going to be the whiteout. And that is a special thing. And that, I'm telling you, there are a lot of teams across sports. You see it in hockey all the time, and it's great. You see it in the NBA. You see it, obviously, other college teams and all of that. They have their versions of the whiteout. I don't think anyone does it any better than Penn State. And so that is going to be some kind of atmosphere Saturday night. That being said, I think this game comes down to basically what Bo Nix does, and to a degree. If you look at Bo Nix's record at home, it's obviously much better. He's only lost one game, one game inside Jordan-Hare there in Auburn, but he's 5-7 on the road in his career at Auburn. So, can he turn that around? I think he's looked a little bit more comfortable in Mike Bobo's offense. The thing about this game is I think Penn State, I don't look for a whole lot out of their offense. So, I think that helps them a lot. I don't think you're going to have to throw the ball all around, you know, to, you know, score 40 points to win that game. I think if Auburn can get to 24 points, maybe 27 points, I think they win the football game. Whoever gets to that point, I think, wins the game. And I think Auburn's run game, they've got a two-head, basically a two-headed monster right now led by Tank Bigsby. Yeah, so Bigsby is their lead back. He's one of the best backs in the SEC, probably one of the best backs in the country, but they also have a change of pace guy in Jarquez Hunter. This guy's gone over, he's gone over 100 yards himself in both of the first two games. Had 147 yards, as a matter of fact, against Alabama State this past Saturday. So, Auburn's in good hands with their running game. And I think if they're able to get anything, you know, some play action, get some, and, you know, start Bo Nix off with some nice little, make some, a couple dump offs early as you kind of get, you know, acclimated to that crowd and everything. And yeah, I think they're going to be fine. I think Bobo is a guy that knows how to use his running game. He knows how to incorporate those play action passes into it. We saw it all of his career at Georgia while he was there. So yeah, I think Auburn will have the formula to win it. It just comes down to their execution. Again, Bo Nix, again, like I said, his road record is not good. And Penn State obviously is a good football team. It's going to be a tough task, but again, I think Auburn will have enough to win that football game. I think Auburn defensively is going to be a little bit too much for Penn State. Auburn's defense, again, is going to be one of the better ones in the SEC, and I think they'll get it done. And I'll tell you what, if they do get it done, if Auburn wins that football game, get ready. Okay, Auburn Nation, War Eagle Nation, whatever you want to call them, is going to be loud Sunday and Monday, and they're going to let you hear about it. Obviously, they're ranked right now. They're going to be higher ranked. They'll probably be a top 15 team if they are able to pull that win off at Happy Valley Saturday night. they're going to let you hear about it. And the first thing they're going to let you hear is, yeah, I told you we should have got rid of Gus Malzahn. I told y'all. So, yeah, if they go 3-0, then, yeah, you're going to have the Auburn fans thinking that this might be their year that they could end up in the SEC championship game and all of that. And, again, you know, and be honest with you, when you sit there and look at Alabama's schedule right now, and, you know, you look at, you know, going to Florida Saturday, obviously that's a tough trip. We'll see if they can get it done. You look down their schedule, though. Texas A&M, they're having problems with their QBs. You know, maybe they can have it fixed by the time Alabama gets to College Station. We'll see. But if they don't, that is not going to be a good thing for A&M, you wouldn't think, right now. Okay? Past that, where does Alabama lose a game? I mean, you know, Ole Miss could give them some problems. Matt Corral, we saw Ole Miss put 48 points on the board against Alabama last year. But that game was in Oxford. This year's in Tuscaloosa. I think Ole Miss's defense is better, but are they that much better where they're able to pull that off in Tuscaloosa? I don't know. And so, when you start looking at that schedule for Alabama, the next game that you really start thinking about Alabama possibly losing is Auburn at the end of the season. So, yeah, that's just something, you know, that I think you just have to look at. If Auburn wins this football game and they're 3-0, that's the kind of talk I think that you're going to be hearing. So, yeah, those are really the biggest games in the SEC. Again, Ole Miss playing Tulane, team out of the American. Tulane, we've known about them. We talked about them. We saw them really hang in at Oklahoma, 40-35. That game went down to the wire. They've been through a lot being, on the go. They've been away from home for about the last 3 or 4 weeks now since Hurricane Ida came through New Orleans. Everything, all the cleanup efforts and everything going on down there. So they've been unable to play a home game down there. Now, they're going to get to play. It was announced the other day that Tulane will play UAB. Now, it was a possibility at one point because Tulane played their home game this past Saturday at Legion Field in Birmingham. There was a possibility that Tulane could play UAB as a home game at Legion Field. Okay, now UAB is opening their new stadium. They supposedly had played their last game at Legion Field last season. So that was kind of crazy. That was kind of funny if that had worked out like that. That Tulane would basically be hosting UAB at Legion Field. But it's not going to happen like that. Tulane is going to be able to play UAB in New Orleans. So that's a good thing for them. I think that would be their first time back in New Orleans. So that I think that is a good thing for them. I know that will be an emotional game for Tulane. But this game against Ole Miss being played at Oxford this coming Saturday, again, we saw Ole Miss handle Louisville. We've talked about could their defense be improved because we think the offense is going to rock and roll with Lane Kiffin, Matt Corral. I think this is going to be their first test, obviously, to see if they can hold down the green wave. If they can, then you start looking at Ole Miss as being possibly a dangerous football team. We know what they can do offensively, but can they defend? And if they're able to do that, and Ole Miss goes to 3-0, you start thinking about them possibly being, being a threat to Alabama, possibly here in a couple weeks. So, yeah, that game is going down. I think that's going to be a really good game. Could be a shootout. That game could get into the 40s or something like that for the team that wins the game. So, yeah, a lot to look forward to this weekend. Man, I mean, it's two huge games, I think, here in the state of Alabama with the two state teams here. Alabama going down to the Swamp, Auburn going to Penn State. Can't wait for those games. Got some good action on Sunday in the NFL. We're going to come back. You know we are. This is Ball About the South, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about all of it next week. I want you to, and hopefully you'll be right back here with us. Please like, subscribe, all those good things on whatever platform you're listening to the show on, Google Podcasts, whether it's Spotify, not quite on Apple Podcasts, which is a little bit too new. Hopefully here in the near future, we'll get on there as well. Spreaker, Amazon Music. Getting to be everywhere, man. Ball About the South is about to be all over the place. And hope you enjoyed. If you please drop a comment. Let me know what you think about the show. Let me know if you like it. Let me know what you don't like. All the good stuff. And again, we'll be right back here next week. I expect to see you right here. Y'all enjoy the games over the weekend, and I'll holler at you next week.